Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
One of our listeners had sent me a link, and they said, hey, you got to talk about this on your show. And it was an incredible podcast episode with a guest that Lara Logan had. You guys remember Lara Logan? She was one of the good ones on 60 Minutes back in the day. You know, for us Iraq-Afghanistan war veterans, she really was our war correspondent, such an incredible war correspondent. I just actually missed seeing her. She had visited our combat outpost Wilderness in Afghanistan just before I had arrived there. And so anyway, but we've seen her here in Montana. She's joined us on the show. So I was actually just messaging her. We got to get her back on the show to talk about that. But also, we want to hear from you as well. 406-294-0970. In the 6 o'clock hour, I was talking about this massive Somali fraud scandal in Minnesota, which they're saying is simply the tip of the iceberg here in America. We've got Nancy and Roundup on the phone lines to weigh in. Nancy, thanks for the call.
Yeah, good morning, Montana Talks family. I have a comment and then a couple of quick questions to throw out there for you. I do believe that we're seeing the beginning of a holy war globally. And there was a Jewish prisoner that was recently released by Hamas, and he told the story that the Hamas told him that they wanted world dominance and that they were starting to kill the Saturday people, and then the Sunday people would be next. And this means a holy war, Christians and the Muslims. It's for centuries this has been going on. But my questions are this. You mentioned the refugee industrial complex. Was this started or caused from the military industrial complex? Because a military industrial complex has caused many, many holy wars in the world, and they've displaced a lot of the Muslims. These were usually done in Muslim countries, and that's caused these mass migrations and resentments against Western civilization. My second question is this. The Jewish, are they the cause of the demise of our republic or even their own in the world? Because remember, Karl Marx was a Jew. And they are the greatest supporters of the Democrat Socialist Party. 50% of the contributions that that party receives are from American Jewish. And I'm looking at
a lot of them have been
thinking that they're causing a lot of issues here in our own country as well as the world.
Well, so, I think that's what a lot of conservative Jews, a lot of conservative Jews and Republican Jews have been saying is they've actually been calling out their fellow, Jewish folks saying, hey, look, like we get why maybe historically you might have aligned with the Democrat Party in America, but you can no longer. I mean, and so, yeah, they have funded the left. They have, you know, so many of them have funded the Democrat Party, which is now, you know, straight up turned on them. In fact, even John Fetterman, the Democrat senator from Pennsylvania, has been calling out the left, calling out his own Democrat Party for what they have done to promote anti-Semitism. So, yeah, and then your point about the military-industrial complex fueling this invasion of so-called migrants. I think you're onto something there, Nancy, but I'll give you more of an answer right after this. Thanks for calling in.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With breaks of sun and some clouds around the area today, an isolated shower is possible, mainly towards Bozeman. High temperatures staying in the upper 40s to the lower 50s. For tonight, with variably cloudy skies, isolated showers possible, mainly towards the Bozeman vicinity. Overnight lows in the mid and upper 30s. With some scattered rain showers Wednesday, highs range in the mid 40s to around 50. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is the time.
Last year with Montana Talks, we've taken you to Capitol Hill. We've taken you to the SHOT Show. We've taken you to the Farm Bureau Convention. We've done shows all across Montana. But you know what the best part of Montana Talks is? When you call into the show, when we take your phone calls from all across Montana, and then you get a chance to be heard all across Montana. Hey, that's what we do every day here with Montana Talks, taking you statewide 9 to 10 a.m., the show where you get to talk.
Mike Rowe here.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, got a message on the Montana Talks app. This one came from Andy in Whitefish. Andy says this, Nancy is dead on, right on Nancy. The question Nancy raised there about is the military-industrial complex. Remember, it was Republican President Dwight Eisenhower, or a general, an Army general who basically had coined this term, right, if I'm recalling correctly, the military-industrial complex. And so she raised a really good question. Is the military-industrial complex partly to blame for this, you know, just massive influx of migrants, especially from these Muslim communities? And I think the answer is very clearly yes. I think, and look, I understand the compassion. I understand that piece. But look, it has gone way out of control. I mean, and case in point. So I went on a rant a couple of weeks ago. After the Afghan refugee shot and killed one of our incredible National Guard service members from West Virginia in the streets of our own nation's capital, and then shot another, who, by the way, it sounds like his condition is improving. He's been moved out of you know, the critical condition status, so that's good news on that front. I know so many people are praying for him, but I went on this rant, and I said this. Look, when they started opening up the floodgates for the Afghan refugees to come into America, this is exactly why a lot of us, especially us Afghanistan veterans, I remember back at the time, they were like, oh, well, we've got to allow all these people from Afghanistan to come into America. No, we do not. Now, are there some friends of ours that we worked very closely with that have been fully vetted by we, the American people? Yes. Yes, get them out. Get the American citizens out of Afghanistan following Joe Biden's disastrous withdrawal. And look, I have interpreters that were on our teams that already had made it out of Afghanistan. And they had been vetted. They had multiple people vouching for them, et cetera. But what the Biden regime did was they just said, "Oh, let's just open up the cargo hatches on the cargo planes and bring everybody to America." But and I made the point back then, and I said this again 2 weeks ago. Even some of the people that worked with U.S. military personnel should not be brought to the United States of America for a whole host of reasons. And frankly, just because you were an interpreter working with U.S. forces doesn't mean that you should come to the United States of America. Some, yes, not all. And the case in point that I've used repeatedly over the years is our own Stacey Zinn. Stacey Zinn, who was the head of the DEA here in Montana, she's the vice chair of the Montana Republican Party now, and just got appointed to fill the state House seat here in the Montana legislature, as Bill Mercer became sworn in as the new federal judge appointed by Trump, that opened up his House seat. And so, yeah, Stacey Zinn is now filling that state House seat out of Billings in the legislature. But, you know, when she was in Afghanistan, they tried to assassinate her. There was a ring of interpreters who were working with the enemy who tried to set her up for an ambush so she could get assassinated by our enemy in Afghanistan. And there were people like, wow, if they were interpreters, they should be able to come into America. These were interpreters that got busted for trying to assassinate one of our great, you know, American DEA agents. And so the fact is you don't know who all of these people are. And then I think for the first time on the radio, I made the point that, like, look, we had one interpreter, and I got along with the guy on a personal level, but, you know, some people can put on an act. You just never know, right? But the guy had been fired from two different forward operating bases. Well, he wanted me to vouch for bringing him to the United States of America, and I'm sitting here in the back of my mind thinking, okay, you are in what country right now? you got fired from two different forward operating bases. I was like, and you want me to vouch to bring you to America? And then if something happens after you come to America, you want me, well, give me a break. Like, no. I was so fired up. I said, look, I didn't go to Afghanistan to bring Afghanistan to America. We went to Afghanistan to protect America and to go after the terrorists that hit America. And so to go back to Nancy's question about here is, yes, there are so many folks who've been a part of this, if you want to call it the military-industrial complex. They're like, oh, no, well, these people were working with us, so yeah, just let them all come in here. No, no. Just because you were in Somalia helping the people of Somalia doesn't mean, okay, let's bring everybody to the United States of America. And by the way, I talked about some of the, you know, the bad people or the potentially bad people. But what happens when you take even all of the good people out of these other countries? Who's going to stay and fight to free the oppressed in those countries? Who's going to stay and fight for freedom in those countries if you pull all the freedom fighters out of those countries? We fought for freedom in America. Our founding fathers fought for freedom here in America, and that's why we have this free republic that we have today. If we just pull freedom fighters out of every other country all over the world, when are we going to free the oppressed in all of these other countries all around the world? Now, thankfully, with a strong president like President Donald J. Trump right now, look at what is taking place all across South America. Leftist, communist dictators are being ousted. The map, there is a surge, we call it a red wave, a tsunami across South America that's taking place right now because of people like Javier Milei and Donald J. Trump.
This is House Call for Health. A simple tweak to your daily bedtime routine could lower blood pressure. A new study suggests going to bed at the same time every night could help regulate blood pressure for those with hypertension. Researchers at Oregon Health and Science University tracking the blood pressure of nearly a dozen middle-aged adults with high blood pressure, some of them already taking medication to manage the condition. For the first week, participants were instructed to follow their usual sleep routines. Then for the next 2 weeks, they were asked to pick a bedtime and stick to it with no daytime naps allowed. Researchers found that as fluctuations in bedtime dropped from an average of 30 minutes down to varying by just 7 minutes, blood pressure also declined. The study suggests that sticking to a regular bedtime may strengthen circadian rhythms and restore healthier blood pressure patterns. Findings appear in the journal Sleep Advances. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Last week, a new pilot program was announced on regenerative agricultural practices and, in turn, growing more nutritious food. That announcement was made by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy and Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins.
The pilot brings USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service, or NRCS, back to its core mission, helping people help the land through whole farm, outcome-based voluntary conservation that our producers trust. Whole farm planning is the centerpiece, ensuring that all resource concerns such as soil, water, and natural vitality are addressed together, not one piece at a time.
In fiscal year 26, the regenerative pilot program will focus on whole farm planning that addresses every major resource concern, soil, water, and natural vitality under a single conservation framework.
Producers will benefit from a single application, reducing red tape and making conservation easier to access and our programs more impactful. Each producer's results will be measured and credited back to the farmer through an outcomes report, recognizing and rewarding improvements they achieve on their own land.
USDA is dedicating $400 million through the Environmental Quality Incentives Program, or EQIP, and $300 million through the Conservation Stewardship Program to fund the first year of regenerative agriculture projects. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, 406-294-0970 is the number for you. If you got something you want to talk about, let's see here. This was another thing where I was like, oh, man, I should mention this one on the show yesterday. But John was doing such a great job. I was like, man, and my voice was such a train wreck yesterday until I got these splints out of my nose that I was like, okay, I know I want to talk about all these things, but sit down, enjoy your coffee, enjoy John Jackson doing a great job on the show. And that's exactly what I did for most of the show yesterday. But John will be back with us today, too. So he's still going to join us for our normal Tuesday time slot. So looking forward to that coming up. And, of course, whenever John's in the house, we're always taking your phone calls as well. But this was an incredible story. I don't know if you guys heard about this. Unless you have the Montana Talks app on your phone or unless you check our website out regularly, you probably missed this story. I think the Bozeman Daily Chronicle is the only place that may have even covered this news outside of Fox News or some other national news publications. But, which is kind of crazy when you think about it, because it used to be that if there was anything remotely positive that involved a Republican, the Bozeman Daily Chronicle would say nothing about it. But now they are, they still have a bunch of liberal trash in their paper, but they are at least trying to include more voices, more perspectives, and cover different types of news as well. But yes, I think they were the only ones that covered this. I saw this story last week while I was out, and I was like, holy cow, this is incredible. If you guys haven't seen the photos, you got to go to our Montana Talks website. There was an incredible record, a world record, Guinness Book of World Records record that has now been broken, and with a couple of very cool Montana connections. And so, anyway, this is the story here. It was a world record held by Libya. You guys know Benghazi, Libya. So, anyway, some folks in Libya had set this world record. But now, in an incredible display of the American flag during a free fall parachute jump, the record is back on American soil. And so I wrote about and shared about a couple of the Montana connections who helped make it happen. Montana Navy SEAL veteran and U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy said, quote, he was proud to be part of the incredible team of Americans and veterans that included a SEAL, EOD, Ranger, fighter pilot, astronaut, and some of the best skydivers in the world who returned the world record for the largest flag ever parachuted out of an aircraft back to the United States of America. Senator Sheehy added, quote, there is no question about it. This record belongs on American soil, and setting it alongside this great team of patriots is a fitting way to kick off the celebration for America's America's 250th next year. Here's how Fox News described what took place. On Pearl Harbor Day, a team of elite skydivers flew a 3,200-square-foot American flag in free fall over Arizona, nearly doubling Libya's recent mark and securing a new world record with a certified jump now headed for the Guinness Book of World Records. Jumping from a Vietnam-era Huey at about 10,000 feet, the team deployed a 3,200-square-foot American flag, almost twice the size of the Libyan flag. And it really is cool when you see this massive American flag flying through the sky with looked like four operators at the base of it holding it flat to be on display. Very incredible. But, yeah, so not only was Navy SEAL vet and Senator Tim Sheehy there to be a part of that. But one of the big key players who really helped make it all happen, it sounds like, is Jared Isaacman, the man that President Trump tapped to take over NASA. Isaacman was the mission commander for the Polaris Dawn mission, which conducted the first ever commercial spacewalk. As I told you earlier this year, in fact, you guys might remember it. You might have seen Jared Isaacman and crew flying some incredible fighter jets over Bozeman, Montana. In fact, I think I was coming back. I think it was the Montana GOP convention last summer. I think it was in Helena, and I'm driving back from Helena, driving through Bozeman, and I was like, oh, man, look at those fighter jets. I was like, that's got to be Isaacman. It's got to be Isaac Mann and the crew. And then, of course, I then, you know, just a few hours later or maybe the next morning when I got home, I saw the video that Jared Isaacman had shared on X of his crew and their incredibly painted fighter jets flying right over Bozeman. But, yeah, so Jared Isaacman was basically one of the key players who helped make this whole world record-setting event take place. So very cool. And, yeah, he has been tapped by President Trump to take over NASA. But that's another kind of big Montana connection as well, because if you guys remember, when the Polaris Dawn crew was getting ready to head up into space, they practiced over Bozeman, and we ended up getting the mission pilot, Kid Petit, on Montana Talks, and he told us how Isaacson's got a hangar full of these fighter jets there, so we're like, hey, why don't we just train in Bozeman? So anyway, very cool. A little calendar reminder, funny thing, just as I was just speaking about being at the Montana GOP convention, the last, was it summer? Anyway, whenever the heck it was, May, June, I can't remember. But I just got a little calendar reminder that coming up here in just a few minutes, here at 7:40, we've got Art Wittick, the chairman of the Montana Republican Party, joining us here, going to talk about the state of the Montana GOP. So that timing worked out well. So he'll be with us here in just a few minutes. Looking forward to that. Of course, a longtime former legislator out of Bozeman in the Gallatin Valley as well. So we'll get to that here in just a few minutes. All right, another funny story now involving Senator Tim Sheehy. I just thought this was hysterical. So I told you about the cool, you know, American flag story, breaking the world record. There was something else that Senator Sheehy shared on X that just had me rolling laughing. And, oh, did this trigger some of the potheads out there. The potheads are just totally, they got totally triggered by this one. Some of them anyway. I think others can take a joke. But some of the potheads really got triggered by this one. You guys know the phrase, you know, hard times create strong men create good times, and then good times create weak men. You know, it's basically been the pattern of world history and of people, right? You know, we go through good times, and then we take it for granted, and then you start doing stupid things, and then you suffer hard times, and then it toughens people up, and then those tough people make lead for good times again, and, you know, it's the roller coaster of world history, basically. Well, he shared, this was something that was shared by Cigarette Nostalgia on X. You guys remember the Marlboro Man commercials, right? The pictures of the Marlboro Man and Marlboro cigarettes. Well, Tim Sheehy shared this. The Marlboro Man versus the Weed Man. And so it's got a picture of the Marlboro Man, one of the ad campaigns. And so he shares, he says, truth. And then he shares this meme about the Marlboro Man versus the Weed Man. And this is what it read. Hard times create nicotine men. Nicotine men create good times. Good times create weed guys. Weed guys create hard times. We are here. That's where we're at in American history right now. The weed guys have created hard times. Anyway, oh, and then, of course, you could see all the potheads, especially the liberal potheads. Oh, I can't believe we're out. Oh, this is me, man. You know, it's like, oh, settle down, bro. It's a freaking joke. Relax. But I just thought it was hysterical. So anyway, you could see a little bit of that back and forth and more. Check it out, MontanaTalks.com. Or if you've got the app on your smartphone, you can see it right there as well. Art Wittick on the state of the Montana GOP coming up right after this. You can message us on the app if you've got a question for him, or I think we may be able to sneak in at least a call or two as well if you want to jump in on the conversation through the studio phone lines as well, 406-294-0970.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we've got Art Wittick, the chairman of the Montana GOP, now with us here on Montana Talks, talking about the state of the Montana GOP. And in fact, frankly, a kind of a great opportunity here as we approach the end of the year to do a year in review, kind of a year in review wrap up, and then also looking ahead to 2026. Art, great to have you back on the show. Thanks for being with us.
You bet. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, before I take it in any other direction, tell us, what's your state of the Montana GOP?
You know, I think things are going really great. Aaron, we had a change of leadership in the summer, and so we've been putting together quite a few initiatives to get ready for the 2026 election cycle. We have some new staff. We have a whole bunch of new volunteers. We're ramping up for the legislative races and reaching out to candidates who are filing as Republicans and just trying to understand who they are. As you know, Aaron, in Montana, anybody can declare themselves as a Republican or a Democrat, and there's no party registration. So Montana Republican voters are primarily conservative voters, and that's who makes up the Republican Party. And so we're interested in, you know, the conservative ideas of the candidates. So we're doing that. We're working on some policy initiatives. You know, there's a real disagreement right now as to the property tax changes. You know, some people think that there's been some benefits, but I'm sure hearing from a lot of people who are seeing their property taxes going up, and there's a lot of concern about that. So we're working on some property tax actual reduction types of policies that our candidates and our elected officials can work on in the next legislative session in 2027. And then we're also getting the counties more involved with the state party activities. They want to have a stronger role, and so we're allowing that. So we're making some reforms. We're getting ready for 2026. Also, we're getting ready for our winter kickoff in Great Falls, February 6th and 7th. That's going to be a good event where people can get together and network and do some candidate training. And it's exciting. It's good stuff.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that you're going to be focusing in on property taxes, because, yeah, it's interesting. No matter where folks sit on the property tax reform that came out of the last legislative session, I mean, whether you voted for it, whether you voted against it, I think everybody can agree, should agree at least, that the property tax system we have and we have had in place for decades is a complete freaking mess. It's a complete freaking train wreck. Even the people that were supposed to get so-called residential property tax relief, will they even know it? Will they even feel it? But the people that definitely saw an increase, oh, yeah, they're definitely going to notice it. But I think even the residential property taxpayers that maybe got some relief out of that package, they're not even going to feel it, because the fact is we have a system that is based off of property tax values where everything's going to continue going up, up, and up. And then if you keep seeing more local levies and bonds and things like that, well, it's going to continue driving it up and more. And so anyway, I actually earlier this morning I reached out to the Committee to Unleash Prosperity, because Art Laffer is actually working with the state of Florida to bring about massive reform to property taxes there. And maybe that's something, you know, we could focus on here in Montana as well.
Well, I think it's going to be an ongoing issue, because in the past, the policymakers were afraid to discuss the elephant in the room, if you will, and that is spending. And when you don't do anything about county spending and the counties continue to ask for additional levies and the schools ask for additional levies, you know, some of the biggest new construction projects around Montana are county and school projects, right? And certainly we need to accommodate growth, but there's been no real restriction on the spending side. And you're absolutely right. They say that there was a reduction, but really, Aaron, it was a shift. And so since they didn't address spending, and since a few people got a reduction, guess what? Everybody else is paying for that reduction. And so, you know, there are people receiving huge new tax increases. And these are just not all out-of-state rich people, right? There are an awful lot of people in Montana who own property, who've saved and worked hard and invested and have a few rental properties or an apartment or some commercial property, and they're all seeing these huge tax increases. And so it was really a Democrat plan that was passed by Democrats and a few people who called themselves Republican. And that's why the Democrats, after the session, said they got everything they wanted. They were completely happy with the property tax bill. And it was just, it was more welfare. It was a tax shift. And so, if you really want to address property tax, and I know they're also looking at some of that down in Florida, you have to address the spending side.
That's
and
right.
You also have to be fair. You have to be fair to everybody, look what's happening with renters now, right? If all the commercial properties have increased property taxes, that's going to be passed on to somebody. Businesses, the same thing. If they get a big, huge tax increase, guess who that's passed on to? So if you don't address the spending side, you're really, it's a phony endeavor. And so we want to make sure that is addressed in the next session. And then we also have a few federal races that we're going to keep an eye on right now. It looks good for the party. Is there a Democrat party in Montana? I don't know. I don't see it.
Well, at the federal side, they've got these D-list actors that they're trying to prop up to run against Ryan Zinke in the Western Congressional District. And it's like, oh, give me a break. You can just tell they're going to try to prop up another fake, phony moderate. And I just think Montanans have already seen through that scam. That's why they finally dumped John Tester. And they're sick of these fake, phony moderates. You have that D behind your name right now. We know exactly where you stand, and it's not with us.
Yeah.
It's with the they thems and the invaders in this country right now.
Yeah, I mean, you get these Democrat consultants out of D.C. and they've here's who we need as a candidate. Let's check the boxes. They have to have some rural connection. They have to be a veteran. They have to never talk about what Democrats really push. Right? They have to hide all that stuff. And, so are they coachable? And the Republican Party is looking really good on the federal races. Obviously, we're going to pay attention as the filing deadline comes up here in March. But I think the two biggest things, Aaron, are going to be the legislature. And also, frankly, we've heard that the only thing that the Democrats really control in the state right now are the courts.
Yeah.
And so because they have various wings of the Democrat Party, whether it be unions or environmentalists or whatever, that are spending all this money, trial lawyers that are spending all this money on the courts, on the judicial elections, we've heard that they're pushing an initiative that would prevent Republicans from speaking on judicial races. So they basically want to gag us from commenting on any judicial races. Why? Because they have the system rigged. They know that if the legislature does pass something good and the governor does sign it, they can overturn it in the Montana Supreme Court. So we are going to also pay attention to that. And I don't know if you've heard, but they passed a law that added some requirements on signature gathering. And so we're going to pay close attention to that. We're going to put together a hotline. These signature gatherers, if they're an out-of-state paid, consultant getting signatures or just paid from out-of-state, they have to disclose that to people that they're collecting their signatures.
That's great. That's great. We see so much outside interference, whether it's foreigners funding these left-wing initiatives or out-of-state operatives interfering in our Montana elections. Well, lots to talk about here. Art Wittig, the chairman of the Montana GOP. Boy, something you just said, too, about that last topic I want to jump in on. I really think that we are seeing a healthy debate right now between various factions of the Montana GOP. You mentioned legislative races. I love the fact that I'm seeing multiple headlines every day of people debating back and forth what took place in the legislature, what kind of candidates should survive the primaries next year. I think it's a healthy debate thus far. 20 seconds before the break, what would you share, Art?
Oh, I agree. I mean, we need to have that. And people should be allowed to investigate and to discuss these things. And, you know, you would think that we did something outrageous by sending a questionnaire to candidates. I mean, what are you afraid of?
All right, hold that thought. Back with Art Wittig, chairman of the Montana GOP, right after this.
Fox Sports Update.
The Pittsburgh Steelers make a statement. Monday Night Football, the Steelers jumped out to a 28-3 lead on the Dolphins and beat Miami 28-15 to improve their record to 8-6. Aaron Rodgers threw two touchdown passes against Miami, which was trying to win its fifth game in a row.
After tonight, you know, they won four straight games. They had a lot to play for. Hopefully the belief is starting to pick up because it's tough to play in the cold weather. And if we can take care of business, then we're going to be hosting the game right here.
Steelers quarterback Aaron Rodgers with ESPN after he completed 23 of 27 passes for 224 yards and two touchdowns in his team's 13-point win over Miami.
Aaron, you're still on top in the division, three games left. This is what you wanted. To be playing meaningful football all the way to the end.
That's why I wanted to come back, is to be a part of something special. And this is a great organization. We're playing meaningful football games. We're up by a game in a division. A lot left to play for. We got three games starting this weekend in Detroit.
Aaron Rodgers with ESPN. The Steelers not only have a one-game lead over the second-place Ravens, Pittsburgh also owns the tiebreaker versus Baltimore. By virtue of head-to-head matchups and division record, the Steelers will host the Ravens in the final game of the regular season. Will Patrick Mahomes be ready to play at the start of next season? The Chiefs quarterback had surgery yesterday to repair his torn ACL suffered Sunday, as well as repair the LCL in his left knee. Packers pass rusher Micah Parsons also has a torn ACL and will miss the rest of this season. He could have declared for the NFL draft next year, but Texas redshirt sophomore quarterback Arch Manning will return to the University of Texas. The son of Cooper Manning and nephew of Peyton and Eli Manning and grandson of Archie Manning, Arch Manning will quarterback the Longhorns in the Citrus Bowl December 31st versus Michigan. Mavericks rookie Cooper Flagg scored 42 points in a loss against the Jazz last night, most points ever by an 18-year-old in the NBA. I'm Jared Max.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With breaks of sun and some clouds around the area today, an isolated shower is possible, mainly towards Bozeman. High temperatures stay in the upper 40s to the lower 50s. For tonight, with variably cloudy skies, isolated showers possible, mainly towards the Bozeman vicinity. Overnight lows in the mid and upper 30s, with some scattered rain showers Wednesday. Highs range in the mid 40s to around 50. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Hey, with the holidays fast approaching, some of you can be taking some time off, maybe getting on a long airline flight somewhere or taking a long road trip. Here's the deal. If you've got the Montana Talks app on your smartphone, not only can you listen live from anywhere, not only can you get our great news stories, commentary pieces, and more from contributors all across Montana, but you can also go download any show, any
code LOT for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code LOT for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I think that break went a minute longer than it's supposed to be going here for some reason. So that really cut into our time here. So I may not be able to get into a caller. Caden, if you can check and see why that break seemed to be longer than it's supposed to be. They're cutting into our time to talk with our guests and with our listeners here. But I want to go back here quickly to Art Wittig, the chairman of the Montana GOP. You know, Art, you and I were talking a little bit more about this during the break. Yeah, I feel like in Republican primaries past, you know, didn't get a lot of attention, And then you'd have these special interest groups come in, give a bunch of money to a certain faction. And then the next legislative session, everybody's like, whoa, what the heck is going on here? Why is there all this division in our caucus? Whereas right now, I think you really are. You're seeing a healthy debate between both sides, where the more moderate factions and the more conservative factions are openly discussing and debating their beliefs and their actions in the legislature, and hopefully the people can be more engaged, more informed in the primary, and let the best man or woman win.
Well, what you're seeing is energy, right? You're seeing a marketplace of ideas. Do you see any Democrats, talking with one another on their primaries? No. So I think it's a great sign that we're activists. I also think that what you're going to see with the party getting more involved, and the party's more involved because our members want us to be more involved. It's not just one or two people making these decisions. We have a state central committee. They all said we need to get more involved with who we choose in these primaries. And I think what's happened is you've seen adjectives. It's becoming adjective parties, right? Where, you know, they want to co-opt language. They want to say we're moderate, you're conservative, you know, we're solutions, you're Main Street, you're, you know, whatever. It's becoming a party of adjectives. And a couple months ago, I just realized, you know, we need to be really clear with people. There are two parties in the state that are viable parties. There are Republicans and there are Democrats. And if you, just like a duck, you walk like a duck and you quack like a duck. If you talk like a Democrat, if you want to criticize the Republican base, including me, you know, a lot of it has been very, very personal, kind of just unnecessary. But if you are talking like a Democrat, you're criticizing the Republican Party, then you're a Democrat. You know, and we can have that debate in the primary, but talking about Republican policies and principles and the platform, that is pretty clear stuff. And so asking these candidates, why did you self-declare as a Republican? In many states, there has to be all sorts of hoops that people jump through to have a party affiliation. We don't. It's completely open. So you have all these really super red conservative districts in the state based on the redistricting that the Democrats controlled, right? And you have people running in those super conservative districts, and they're not representing the people in those districts. Those people are being underrepresented by people who claim to be Republican but vote with the Democrats.
Well, we had
this property tax thing was a Democrat bill.
Well, so we had a young conservative. We had a young Gen Xer, Finley Warden, who joined us on the show, you know, talking about nationally and locally that it is so important that the Republicans deliver right now, especially for Gen Z. Gen Z, in a big way, came out for Trump and the Republicans in 2024. But if the Republicans don't deliver, they may not come back to you in 2026 or after.
Yeah.
Art Wittick, great to have you on the show. Thanks for being with us. Mary.
You let him try violin because you love him. And if you love him that much, love him enough to make sure he's buckled up and in the back seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So, if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.